You are.
We need to get Wes over there. That's all we're gonna hear is him.
Wes, come here.
What were you gonna say?
We haven't talked coffee in a while, but I wanted to kind of maybe talk about what is most relevant in your life right now, which is what it looks like to start a coffee company from the ground up.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell what you're doing?
Yeah, some people might know this. Back in 2016, I started a little side project called Harbor Coffee Club. Essentially, I roasted coffee in a popcorn popper, which is the cheapest, most home roasting 101 thing you can do. It's a specific kind of popcorn popper that rotates air in a certain way and gives you some control. So you're roasting 4 ounces at a time, which you can imagine is very labor intensive and not consistent, batch to batch. I did that as a way to just be in the coffee scene at some level, being somebody who would consider coffee his passion and has worked in coffee previously, but was obviously starting my career in marketing, so I couldn't work in coffee at a job or career capacity. And then just as somebody who is interested in roasting and wanted to roast in a way that would serve other people. So basically what we did was we opened up a garage once a month and served people for free the coffee that I roasted. So my only investment was maybe $50 for a couple pounds of green coffee beans from Sweet Maria's. And my time, which it would take me 4 to 5 hours per club to roast, just given how few ounces I could do at one time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And actually turned out some really good coffees, which you could attest to, Keith. Yeah. Obviously, it wasn't always consistent. But
yeah, I'll chime in and say that as an avid Harbor Coffee Club goer, what could have been really terrible coffee
totally
was 9 times out of 10 very amazing coffee, and I've brought it up to many of people as testament that you can really make good coffee on anything if you
totally
are invested in it and have the interest in it, because I have had worse coffee from far more experienced roasters and far larger machines, and you manage to not only roast good coffee on a popcorn maker, but also turn that around and brew it and serve that in an experience that was both enjoyable in the sense of it was a good cup of coffee, but also enjoyable in the sense of like you understood what it meant to make coffee for people, to serve people, and to create a kind of following around that.
Totally. And that's kind of where it left off. So to continue the story, I got married after we did that for about a year. And we just put the project on ice. I had moved to Orange County, wanted to lean into my career a little bit more and just enjoy and learn marriage a little bit, save money, you know, not put time or money into it. But it was always something that Christy, my wife, and I wanted to pick up later. And that's kind of where we're at. So as Keith mentioned, starting a coffee company, not from scratch, you know, we've built a following. We have an advantage over somebody starting purely from scratch. But there's a lot of things that we haven't done, obviously. So the company's going to look a lot. Well, I mean, it's going to be an actual company.
Yeah.
Not just like a side project. And the operations are going to look completely different. It's been fun. It's been... you know, hard, it's hard to prioritize things when you don't have necessarily accountability from first steps yet. You know, it's an open sea. I can work on and do whatever I want. And once the pedal, it's the metal, as they say, and we start things, that'll be easier to prioritize and learn. But for the time being, yeah, it's fun dreaming, but at some point you have to stop dreaming and do.
Just do it.
So that's kind of where we're at.
From a kind of marketing and business standpoint, because mm-hmm. that's where your field of interest outside of coffee has led yeah. you, what are the kind of like interesting or challenging parts of this phase of
yeah.
relaunching a brand?
Totally. yeah, I'd say, you know, the thing with any company, especially coffee, is just capital to get started. So if you think about, you know, somebody who really cares deeply about the coffee and wants to roast their own coffee, there are huge cost barriers there. You know, for a roaster, for good quality beans, to time. And so for me, it's been a fun challenge thinking through how can I start this business in a bootstrapped way, in a way where I'm able to serve people in the capacity I want, and provide value to people in the capacity I want, while not taking on a lot of debt, financial debt or time debt. I'm able to still focus on my career and everything. It's sort of like ramp up from there. So for me, that's been the most fun challenge. And it's challenging for sure. As somebody who wants to be roasting his own coffee, you know, there's barriers there. So that's why we're starting with, we're partnering with Sir Coffee to, which is where he works, roasts, manages, to roast coffee with them. To sort of start things off. And it's just been a fun challenge to think through. What are the variables of starting a business? How can we do it in a way that both serves the people how we want, but works for us from an investment standpoint?
Right. Yeah, I'll say to people that are interested in starting a coffee shop or coffee brand, it is one of those businesses that's seemingly easy,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of hurdles and a lot of decisions that you have to make along the way of what things you're going to prioritize and what things you're going to try to do yourself and
mm-hmm.
what things you're going to lean on others to help you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it is what you make it.
Yeah.
Sort of a situation. You can kind of go all in or you can take it a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, Harbor has been very much like a pop-up, let's serve the community kind of
mm-hmm.
idea.
Yeah.
What does, at this next stage of Harbor, what does the business model look like? Are you a cafe?
Yeah.
Are you a roaster?
Right.
What are you aiming to get?
Yeah. At a high level, we're an online shop. Sourcing coffees or roasting coffees and selling it online, which is sort of my quote-unquote area of expertise. But for us, you know, the pop-ups were fun. The ultimate goal is to build a company that creates community and inspires growth in people. I think coffee does both of those things very well. Kind of the classic, you know, you're sharing a cup of coffee between people, you're fostering community, but also coffee is there with you during a lot of growth moments, early mornings where you're hitting the grind, you know, or you're reading your book or you're just having a time of rest. And for us, coffee is just a vessel to do that. We care about the coffee and the whole farm to cup aspect of things, and the different, you know, I mean, exploring what coffee itself can do, but we feel like we can have the most impact with what we're able to do through doing that. And we're still figuring out like a little bit of what that looks like. But part of that is just like jumping in and then navigating those waters. Sure. And then ultimately the goal is to be able to do that at a more local level through a shop. But that's not one of those things where we can necessarily half-ass it. You know, that's one of those things where we'll get to a point and we'll say, okay, we have to put a lot of investment into this. Hence starting with building the online brand more and accomplishing that mission of fostering community and aiding growth, inspiring growth. Right. Through content, through the coffee itself, through just engagement with our customers, and just being an advocate for them through the coffee. And that's kind of where we're at. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to think about actually doing it. It's just like a concept. And we're at the point where we're like, we just need to do it and learn how we can do that best through this medium.
Right. This is a loaded question for somebody that hasn't started a brand yet in the capacity that you envision.
Mm-hmm.
But why Harbor Coffee? Like, why is I, as a consumer, would I choose you? What makes your coffee, man, or your idea
totally
different?
So that's one of those questions that goes on in my head daily, and some days there's a clear answer and some days it's like, what the F are you doing? Like, there's so many people who have started coffee businesses, specifically online coffee businesses, and it's one of those things where it's like, why this brand over this brand over this brand? And there's two things. Firstly, coffee is a consumable good, right? You're not buying a drill where you're not going to need to buy another drill for 20, 30 years. It's something you're purchasing on a regular basis. And so it's not necessarily I'm choosing one brand over the other. It's I'm choosing one brand over the other this time, right? And some coffee shops, I mean, they have people buying their coffee every week, every month at a bag level or an online level. Some people like me, and I would assume the majority of people who have an interest in coffee or who would buy coffee online from a brand like us, they're sort of shopping around, right? They're supporting various people who have different missions and visions. And then the other thing is exactly what I said before of wanting to sort of inspire community and inspire growth. And that's something we want to do well and incentivize engagement at just like a content or a relationship level that feeds into, you know, supporting that through the purchasing of coffee and then allowing us to accomplish our mission more through that interaction. So I'd say those are like the two things, but I think that's one of the fun things about coffee is it's a huge market, right? The specialty world has barely scratched the surface on potential market cap. Obviously there's more to that conversation and more nuance. And B, even those within the specialty market aren't buying once in a lifetime. They're buying once a month. I mean, at a minimum, if you're interested in specialty coffee, you're buying one to two bags of coffee a month, whether that's supporting your local coffee shop or you're buying online from a new brand.
Right.
And then even within that, from a product standpoint, with coffee, you think about product development. You know, let's say you have a brand that creates pencils, and then they put out a pen. That's an excuse to re-engage with somebody, and now they're buying your pen because they have a relationship, they had a good experience with the pencil. With coffee, it's very easy from a product development standpoint of we've sourced this new single origin, right? So now you're sold on our brand, and we just have to sell you on this new experience through a coffee, not necessarily a new experience through a brand.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the important thing is once you establish the brand relationship, it's very much an ever-evolving thing.
Totally.
And I think coffee, more than other industries, but kind of synonymous with beer and wine, is one of the few industries that you do judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
You decide that you like the name or the branding or the packaging.
Or the people you associated that, or yeah,
you
whatever.
You meet the people, you like the people, you like the story, whatever it may be, you create this relationship with this overarching brand and it becomes like your brand that you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the product, just given the nature of coffee and seasonality, is ever evolving. And so
yep.
you kind of have this like re-engagement of interest in each seasonal offering. And I think the unique thing about coffee is that you can have a local shop, you can have a favorite coffee brand, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and you can buy from them regularly, but you can also, because we consume so much, you can buy from one shop one week and another shop
yeah.
the next week, and you're really not taking away from like that overall
yep.
market value. I mean, you're
yeah.
by supporting multiple people, you're still supporting them in general.
Yep.
And I think it's because it's such a small, widely sourced commodity item.
Mm-hmm.
It's really one of the few things that it's okay for you to
yeah.
shop around.
Yep.
But the key is for you as like a marketing person is to
mm-hmm.
create that relationship so that
yeah.
even if customers do want to shop around and engage with different brands because of different offerings,
yep.
they'll still circle back around and want to support you when you have a new offering.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the fun things where you kind of catch yourself going, oh, why the frick am I starting a coffee company? But then you realize it and you're like, everybody drinks coffee and everybody buys a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those unique spaces where I think there's room for oversaturation, if you will, if that's the appropriate use of the term, because each brand has a unique experience.
Right.
And that's something that I'm trying to have an approach from our brand is, you know, there's so many one-off coffee roasters online now who are like, we're the skateboard coffee roaster.
Right.
We're the BMX coffee roaster. We're the...
I'm trying to like hit that niche.
Hit that niche, which is cool. But you're also limiting yourself from an impact standpoint to people within that niche, because I'm not necessarily going to go buy a coffee from a niche that I don't associate myself with.
Right.
And I haven't seen, at least stateside, I haven't seen a lot of brands that are purely in e-commerce that have sort of an open brand.
Right.
That's not associated with a niche. So that's something I want to do personally.
Yeah.
And that obviously can make it trickier because you're not associating with that unique group of people. And so maybe that might present different challenges. But I think for Harbor, I want to be able to serve more people than people I would just identify myself as somebody who would hang out with
right.
or, you know, be do an activity with. So
yeah, you want to open it up beyond the scope of what your natural niche is, what your natural
yeah.
community
right.
is. And that's the benefit of being an e-commerce brand, is that if you position yourself correctly, you are able to serve a wider group of people.
Totally.
And I think one of the things that people have a misconception about is the amount of coffee that's available to be sold out in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that a lot of like, oh my gosh, another coffee shop in town? We have one down the street. Like, how could there be two coffee shops? Well, the thing is if you look at it from just a perspective of like how many customers in the area drink coffee,
yeah,
then that's like one way to evaluate whether or not there's a need
mm-hmm.
in the market. But if you look at it from the farmer side, the supply side, which is really the basis of why we do what we do,
mm-hmm.
there's an overabundance of coffee to be farmed and sold.
Yeah.
I mean, there's farmers around the world that are just waiting for people to buy their coffee.
Totally.
Or for people to buy all of their coffee instead of half of their coffee. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the misconception, is one, that people don't even really think about tracing the steps backwards of where coffee comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, if they do think about where coffee comes from, they probably think that there's like this limited source, you know, that it's right. this rare quantity of right. coffee in the jungle somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's
almost like
it's a form.
Or the exact opposite. People assume there's so much coffee in the world that it's just a commodity.
Right.
Right.
And it is. And like, there's a balance of the two of mm-hmm. like, in parts of the world, it is a commodity.
Coffee is a category, yes. Coffee is subcategories, no.
Right. And coffee is one of the most, I think it goes back and forth on like the list of like, mm-hmm. Top three most traded item in the world.
Yeah.
And it's because everybody drinks coffee, and like half of the southern hemisphere in the world roast coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like a huge thing of like adding one more shop into the market means that you're roasting more coffee, which means yeah. you're buying more coffee, which means that farmers get to grow more coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it's yeah. just more money for everybody.
Totally.
So everyone's kind of gaining from that market share.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, that's one of the things that I've thought about at some level with Harbor, the fact that we're working with you on roasting, at least as we launch and ramp up and figure out, okay, how can we roast on our own? How does that program look? We get to support a local coffee shop within that, right? So we're essentially getting our coffee supplied to us at a high level locally and supporting a shop.
Sure.
And then we're just sort of distributing that through our own network. But we're getting to support you as a shop, and then therefore you get to support farmers,
right?
Or you get to support your suppliers who are supporting farmers and those sorts of things.
Right.
And so, yeah, that whole chain is beautiful. So, you know, that's I guess an advantage of working with like a local roaster like you and not feeling defeated. You know, sometimes
right.
I can look at us and go, about, why aren't we roasting our own from the right. beginning? And it's like, well, A, we're bootstrapping this.
Yeah.
B, we are gonna create a unique experience through your coffee. And B, we just get to support you. Yeah. And you, because you guys have supported us.
Yeah, so. And it's all about figuring out what hurdles you want to go over
right.
at each stage of the way.
Yeah, where am I focusing my energy?
You know, and buying a roaster is a big hurdle.
Yeah.
Getting connections with importers and coffee farmers is a big hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to collaborate with somebody that can lead you down that path,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, you're sidestepping that hurdle for
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
if we can focus in other places.
If we can figure out our other things, then we'll have all the energy to focus on roasting yeah. and be able to scale all that up. But yeah, so that's fun. It's nerve-wracking. We've definitely built it up for so long, but we're gonna do it, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, on the next thing. But it's gonna work.
It's gonna work. It's all a process.
Yeah.
And, probably something that we can keep
yeah, and
talking
I,
about as we
and I know get my experience. I know my experience isn't unique as well. So I hope this conversation is helpful for people who are wanting to do the same thing. People who have been impacted by coffee and the coffee community who want to support in their own way and build their own thing to create an impact. Man, I get it. I get the drive, I get the desire, but I also get the hurdles and frustrations and,
right.
you know, there's people who
yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to learn from every experience, and I think you and I have both learned from other people doing this in the past.
Yeah.
So hopefully people can learn a little bit from you doing it now. But I think maybe this is a good place to end, and then we can circle back in your first week
Let's go.
Launch.
Let's do it.
We'll talk about
sweet. Hopefully more conversations before that looks like. on random topics for sure. Too. Because life slowed down a little bit now.
Yeah.
All right, we're out. That's the pod.
That's the pod.
Later.